Welcome to the Master Builders Podcast, the podcast where we discuss issues affecting the building industry. It's the podcast by Master Builders for Master Builders. I'm your host, Max Rafferty, and I'm back, and we're back, with the Master Builders Podcast for 2023. I'm looking forward to bringing you in-depth conversations with people who know all about our industry and tell their stories in their words. As we all know, there's many career opportunities within the building industry suitable for all sorts of people. In this episode, we're going to meet an industry heavyweight with a passion for both people and career pathways. He also happens to be the national president of Master Builders Australia, Craig Edmonds. We'll also talk to Shane Garrett, the chief economist of Master Builders Australia, and hear his take on the numbers and why they're so important for everyone in the industry. You're listening to the Master Builders Podcast, by Master Builders, for Master Builders. Craig Edmonds is the current national president of Master Builders Australia. His building career began in Tasmania at a young age, helping his father out on residential building projects. Realizing he had a passion for the construction industry, he served an apprenticeship and then went on to a 34-year career with Fairbrother in Tasmania, becoming chief executive and chairman. He's passionate about giving back to the industry through the Master Builders movement, mentoring apprentices and staff, and carrying on the tradition of supporting career growth and continuous learning at Fairbrother. This is his story. So you've recently been elected as National President of Master Builders Australia. What made you want to put your hand up for the role?
It's my way of giving back to the industry and playing a lead role.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, certainly it's a great honour to be elected National President. I'm passionate about the building construction industry, having worked in the industry all my life. I guess having been on the Master Builders Tasmanian board for 12 years and represented Tasmania on the national board for 7 years, I see the really important work that Master Builders Australia does for the industry that ultimately is critical for the economy and our communities.
I wonder if people are really familiar. So just as a snapshot, what does being the president of Master Builders Australia mean? How did it happen?
I got involved, I guess, with Master Builders Tasmania many years ago, which was probably mainly through the Commercial Contractors Committee that was running, where we used to meet monthly to understand all issues and things that we needed to address as an organisation and an industry from a commercial perspective and commercial building perspective. And I guess having a wide group and a loud voice is heard by government. So I guess it's that lobbying and working with government to try and make better outcomes for our industry. I guess that's where I got started. That led to me getting involved or encouraged to be involved in the state board, which I ultimately did get elected on the state board going back about 12 years ago. I had a term as state president. That led to me being nominated as Tasmania's representative on the national board, and 7 years on the national board has now seen me put my hand up and be elected as the national president. I guess that just changes my perspective more from a state-based focus to a federal or national sort of role, where all the member states and territories come together and deal with the same issues that we would deal at a state level, but more at a national level.
I'm really interested to know where it all began for you in the construction industry.
I left school at the end of grade 10 and commenced an apprenticeship in carpentry and joinery. And like everyone, there's a lot of people that play an important part in your life along the way. A few of those people would be probably, firstly, my dad, he was a self-employed residential builder, and I would help him during my school years, given that he was a sole trader, basically working for himself. There's a lot of things where he needed a hand, and I guess that's where the eldest son come in to be able to help out, and I guess that's where I got my interest in building. And I'd say that I I also learned my work ethic from him too, because he was a hard worker, that's for sure. And he also encouraged me that you probably need to do additional study. If you're going to do an apprenticeship, then you need to be doing additional study along the way, which I took that advice and I did. I commenced an apprenticeship with a commercial builder in Launceston, which was Bushby Brothers. And there was a particular manager there at the time, Noel Paddy, that he saw that I wanted to learn, and he provided me with advice and opportunities. And I'm sure this helped me succeed in my apprenticeship and probably also enable me to actually win the Tasmania Apprentice of the Year Award. And this was probably my first induction to Master Builders Australia. So there was another person that played a key role. After leaving Bushby Brothers, which was actually on the advice of Noel, to look a little broader, I started working for Fairbrother, which was a very progressive and growing company. And ironically, was introduced to me through the Master Builders Tasmania. And Royce Fairbrother, who was the owner of the company, has been hugely influential in my career, providing advice and ongoing development and career advancement. And Royce and his wife there really cared about their people working for them, which is a culture that I'm proud to say still lives on today. And I've been now working for Fairbrother for 34 years.
You're listening to the Master Builders Podcast, by Master Builders, for Master Builders. You know, what sort of opportunities it sort of came up within Fairbrother, and how did you move forward and how did you take those?
Having sort of progressed a reasonable way through some extra study, I was looking for that opportunity to probably move into sort of more of the management side of things. Yep. And moving to Fairbrother, which was an introduction by Master Builders Tasmania and also encouraged by my manager at Bushby Brothers, it allowed me to start a position as a trainee site administrator. And I joined Fairbrother in that capacity, doing that role for a little while. And then that just sort of developed into coming off a site into the office to become a trainee estimator and project manager. So working under a senior person there, I sort of learnt the art of estimating and project management, which then led to giving an opportunity to run some of your own projects at a smaller level size, and then growing gradually over the years. And then when you sort of do okay in that area, I guess you're given other opportunities. And in my case, I was working for a Devonport-based company, and I was given an open opportunity to open up an office in Launceston for Fairbrother, and that allowed me to sort of employ some local people and grow a division for Fairbrother. And then ultimately that sort of led to being given an opportunity to manage some of the other divisions within the company, and ultimately to a CEO role and a director of the company I was in that sort of capacity for about 18 years, up to about 2 years ago, when I was then given an opportunity to be the chairperson of our board. And that's the current role I'm in at the moment. So it's a growth path over 34 years. It's been challenging.
You know, companies like Fairbrother, what kind of role do they play in the industry and mentoring new people?
Fairbrother's known for employing apprentices and successfully training them for them to actually end up in senior positions in the industry. So Fairbrother provides mentoring for all our apprentices, and it is critical for their development and their outcomes. We also provide additional training days through their apprenticeships, and covering topics like goal setting and financial understanding, mental health, team building, and even goal resetting at the end of their apprenticeship for their next step in their careers. So we currently have about 70 apprentices employed at any stage. So the mentoring program we play there is fairly large, very rewarding, and provides successful outcomes. I think we have probably about a 95% completion rate for our apprentices. But importantly, a lot of these apprentices are then provided the ongoing career development and pathways, and they grow within the company, and a lot of them go on to become leading hands, forepersons, site managers, contract administrators, estimators, project managers, and even general managers, and even executive managers for that matter. And I guess if we stand and look at our executive management team and even the directors in the company, a lot of them have actually started as apprentices with the company and have worked their way through building a career to from an apprentice to even a director in the company. We're big on making sure that we've got learning and development plans for everyone. We have succession plans for all positions within our business, and I guess that's creating that focus for all our site managers and our divisional managers and general managers to make sure that learning and development pathways is really structured, and all our people are provided that opportunity to grow and build a career.
You're listening to the Master Builders Podcast, by Master Builders, for Master Builders. It sounds like, you know, this mentoring process, not only the one that you went through yourself, but the one you're providing, is really helping to cement a really good, I guess, culture to set the business on.
Our company, it's a plan of the company to grow people within the business. It's actually our purpose to actually provide a workplace where our people can learn and grow to their highest potential. And in doing that, it's actually creating those the development and the pathways for our people to actually be able to keep interested and keep developing within the company. And ultimately it leads to our growth. If you don't do that, our people will look for those opportunities outside our company. So if we want to train and develop our people for the long term, which is our aim, then you've got to give them the opportunities to actually build a career path. One of the points of difference, I guess, with Fairbrother is that we actually directly employ our own trade-based people, as in carpenters and joiners. We have a joinery workshop. So we have basically construction divisions, which we have across Tasmania in Hobart, Launceston and Devonport, but also regional Victoria, as in Bendigo, Geelong and Warrnambool, and then our joinery-based workshop, which is Devonport-based.
You don't sound like someone with a lot of spare time, Craig, I have to say.
Not a lot of spare time, but I enjoy what I do.
Do you have any big lessons that you've learned from your time in the building and construction industry that you can share with us?
Yes, no doubt. I guess first one's the willingness to keep learning. Technology and the way we go about construction develops at a fast pace. And if you don't keep learning, you're going to get left behind. And so you've got to be prepared to keep learning. Secondly, as I touched on before as well, be prepared to step outside your comfort zone. If you stay in your comfort zone, again, you're going to get left behind. Take on opportunities and continue to learn and develop. And I guess the third thing would be that I would recommend is that you take the opportunity to buddy up and learn from someone smarter and more experienced than yourself, and learn what you can from them. As you learn and the opportunities to take that next step, whether it be from a leading hand role to a foreman role, or a trainee administrator to a project manager, or to an estimator, and then to a divisional manager, or you might even branch off in other directions. And that's one of the good things about our industry. There's so many different pathways you can take.
So what advice would you give people starting out in the industry?
Well, building construction industry is such a rewarding industry with so many pathways. Again, as I've touched on before, I mean, you can go anywhere you want to go, I mean, within the industry. You don't necessarily have to start at an apprentice or a trade level, but it does give you a good grounding. But even regardless of where you start, there's so many pathways that you can actually go within the construction industry. The other point I'd make is probably commencing on or being on the tools doesn't always mean that you're going to be working on the tools all your life either. There's a myth around that some see this as that you start on the tools, you finish on the tools, and that's perhaps a deterrent for coming into our industry, but that's not necessarily the case if that's not what you want to do. I think the final point I'd make too is also that the real shortage of skilled people that our industry has at the moment, in all positions across the board as well, and there's no better time to be looking for a career in the building construction industry. There's any amount of opportunities available, so a good time to be starting or looking to advance a career in the construction industry.
Awesome. Craig, thank you for your time. We really appreciate it. And I guess we look forward to probably hearing more from you in the future.
Thanks, Max.
You're listening to the Master Builders Podcast, by Master Builders, for Master Builders. Shane Garrett is the Chief Economist at Master Builders Australia. He has his finger on the pulse of the latest data trends in the Australian economy. We all know about the challenges facing the industry at the moment, with supply and labour shortfalls, interest rates going up, and cost increases. Knowing the wider economic picture is important for knowing where the future opportunities may be. Shane Garrett can see where we came from, why we are here, and where the industry is likely to move to in the future. Shane, tell us who you are.
Hello, Max. Thanks very much for inviting me on. My name is Shane Garrett. I'm Chief Economist for Master Builders Australia. I've been with Master Builders now for about 4.5 years. As Chief Economist, I look after a few different things. What we'll probably talk a little bit more about later is the forecast. In other words, one of my jobs is to try and produce predictions of what the industry is going to do over the next number of years. But when I'm not doing that, in my spare time, so to speak, I keep an eye on all of the data that comes out about our industry from the Australian Bureau of Statistics, the ABS. Luckily in Australia, we're spoilt for choice when it comes to economic figures, which is great for a data nerd like myself. It means that we have lots of information about what's going on in the industry at any one time. And it allows us to paint a very accurate picture of what's happening in each of the 8 states and territories, mm-hmm. and identify any of the problems that are coming down the track, but also identify where things are going right for us as well.
As a member of a Master Builders around the country, where will I have seen your work? How do I know that Shane Garrett exists, and that what is it that he's done that has made it all the way to me?
One of our more high-profile releases in our economic stream is our forecasts. So we issue forecasts about building and construction activity in Australia and for each of the 8 states and territories. We do that twice per year. Our latest set of forecasts, as luck would have it, have just been released in the last couple of weeks. They go up there. The forecasts cover financial year, so they're on a financial year basis, and they go up all the way to the 2026-27 financial year, which sounds like an awful long time away, but in reality it's less than 5 years, I think. So what the forecasts do, the forecasts can be used by people as a kind of a basis for planning over the medium term. They're designed really to give people a flavor of what the market is going to look like in each of the states and territories over that kind of 5-year period. They cover lots of different areas of the market. They cover about a dozen different areas of the building and construction market overall. So, you know, some stuff is probably more relevant than others to people. It covers the number of detached house starts we expect, the number of higher density home starts, things like apartments, units, townhouses, and semi-detached, etc. They cover home renovations, and then they cover non-residential building, which is a very kind of wide spectrum of activity. It looks at schools, hospitals, things like offices, industrial building, commercial, shopping centres, all that sort of stuff. And then finally, it delves into the civil and engineering construction field that, as you can expect, relates to things like bridges, roads, transport infrastructure, rail, but also things on the resources side of things. We try and predict what's going to happen in the mining resources industry.
Shane's full economic forecasts and data analysis can be found at www.masterbuilders.com.au. Go to the shop and then click on the forecasts. So we get historical information, which can allow us to paint a picture of how the industry looks. You can also get a snapshot into potential pipelines for work for the industry. So we might, so from the work you do, we might get signals that suggest that, you know, in certain parts of Australia, we're about to have a lot more work or the same amount of work or maybe less work.
That's exactly right. It shows us, you know, where things are warming up, are cooling down. But the whole idea is to give people a kind of a general basis as to what things will look like over the coming years. So generally, I think the thing that's of most interest to people is home building activity. So what's home building going to do over the next 5 years? Well, you know, if we look back over the last 5 years, dating from 2018, you know, think of all the unexpected things that happened since 2018 with coronavirus, and we had the commodities price spike and war in Ukraine, all that sort of stuff. So, you know, a 5 year period, a lot of unexpected things can happen, and it's likely that over the next 5 years, a lot of unexpected things will happen. But what we're looking at, if we look at the kind of broad brush strokes of what affects activity over the next few years, population growth, what's that going to do? Well, we saw very little inward migration to Australia over the past 3 years because of COVID. Over the next 5 years, what we're likely to see is we're likely to see a return of inward migration into Australia. And that's going to be good for home building activity because as more people come into the country, it means that more new homes have to be built in the first instance.
Shane, thanks for your time. It was great to hear from you. It's great to hear what you do.
Thanks very much indeed, Max. Great to talk to you today.
Yep, I'm sure we'll be talking more and more as these forecasts happen fairly regularly.
Thank you very much indeed. Look forward to it.
Shane's full economic forecasts and data analysis can be found at www.masterbuilders.com.au. Go to the shop and then click on the forecasts. You're listening to the Master Builders podcast, by Master Builders, for Master Builders. Well, it's that time. We've come to the end of the show, and I've had fun talking to two super cool people in our industry. I find it really refreshing to hear people like Craig Edmonds speak about giving back to the industry. Through his own participation in the Master Builders movement, and also the commitment to putting structures in place to give back to the people who make his business successful. I find talking to our chief economist, Shane Garrett, really interesting. It's always great to hear his take on the current economic data and his future forecasts. Shane's full economic forecasts and data analysis can be found at www.masterbuilders.com.au. Go to the shop and then click on the forecasts. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Max Rafferty, and until next time, stay safe.